You're all set.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, everybody, are you ready? Let's go ahead and begin. Good evening. I call this meeting to order. This is the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is March 8th, 2011. The time is 6:07 p.m. Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. González? Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Here.
Mrs. Strauss?
Here.
And for the record, Ms. González did call in and said she probably will not be attending tonight's meeting because of a family illness. All right. Next agenda item is the Pledge of Allegiance. And Ms. Quintana, would you lead us in both Pledges of Allegiance?
Sure.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, thank you, Ms. Quintana. All right, and Mr. Rodriguez, would you please read the Canutillo ISD mission statement?
Yes, sir, thank you. Canutillo ISD will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
All right, thank you, Mr. Elias. That takes us to agenda item two. Tony?
That is board recognitions, Mr. Reveles.
Good evening, Mr. Reveles.
Good evening. Day in and day out, the people of Canutillo ISD go about their business, tending to the task of educating or helping to educate the children of our community. As if this job was not honorable enough, many of them excel to such great level that it brings honor and pride to our entire school district. Board President Coronado, members of the Board of Trustees, Dr. Murphy, could you please join us down in the steps in front of the dais to celebrate some of the commendable people in our district today? Ladies and gentlemen, the Eagles are soaring again. This time it's the girls' varsity basketball team that is making the community of Canutillo proud. Could Coach Ballinger and the district and by district champion Canutillo High varsity girls team please come up to greet the board and be recognized? The Navy Eagles this year truly are the district 2-4A powerhouse by winning the district championship. In the last year of the season, Canutillo beat rival Riverside to claim the championship outright. Later, Coach Ballinger and his players played a tough fight district game at home against Andrews High School. The Canutillo Eagles were once again triumphant and were defeated by district champs. The Eagles played in the area around the state playoffs in the Permian Basin and hung tough against a good Wayne team. Thank you, Coach Ballinger and Lady Eagles, for a great season. We look forward to a wonderful season next year as well. Let's give these champions a round of applause, please.
MVP in the district. I had two girls that made first team all district. Lawrence Blonde was able to be here also, and Jessica Galavis. She's a junior. She'll be back next year, which I'm real excited about. And then we had second team all district
Erica Gonzalez, who's also a junior, and she'll be back next year, named an honorable mention, Stephanie Sacramento. And to mention what you're talking about, the team we lost to, by the way, Plainview, they lost to the state champions in overtime by 2 points, who was Canyon, and they're in the same district, the top district. And we had some nice compliments from them. We're getting better, we're getting closer to one of those days.
It's great. great to be here. My name is Paul Royalty. I'm manager of energy efficiency for El Paso Electric. One of the great things about doing giving away money is everybody likes to see you, number one. The second thing is the fact that this incentive is just a very small part of what you're going to save, though, in the years to come with the energy efficiency that has been installed with your lighting systems. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that this is a very small portion of what it is you're going to save over the next 5 to 15 years, depending upon the lighting systems that you put in. To give you an idea of what this amounts to, and this is a very small amount of money, but what this equates to is about 56,000 gallons of gasoline every year taken out of the market as if somebody were actually out there doing that. So the CO2 that's actually saved equates to that. A couple of things that actually happened, though, that is pretty impressive here is you're one of the very first schools to actually go through and do a complete retrofit of all the lighting systems, and I think we're working on the last elementary school right now, and the post-inspection is going to be done on that tomorrow. And the fact that we also have the largest school district in the area, and I'm not sure who that would be, but they're actually going to come out and actually take a look at your system because they want to copy you. And so you're on the front edge of the technology and the things that's taking place in energy efficiency. And I want to congratulate you on that, and you've done a great job. So I want to congratulate you. A couple of presentations also for the facilities person out here as well.
Hello, everybody. Great. I actually have four certificates there. The first one,
you need to read it?
Yes, I can read one if you'd like. Okay. I'll read the one that's, I'll show the audience. These are Energy Efficiency Achievement Awards, and they all have the same basic verbiage on them, but this one is for the Canisteo ISD for its energy efficiency accomplishments, stating that the projects that CISD completed in 2010 will save 697,663 kilowatt hours of energy use. Any of us who look at our electric bills know the kilowatt hours is what we pay on, so that's exciting news. Also, 500.9 tons of the greenhouse gas emissions, which equates to that 56,500 gallons of gasoline. And we're presenting these to the board for Canisteo, for Dr. Murphy this evening. I also wanted to recognize your team here. They do an amazing job. You guys have no idea how fortunate you are. I work with all the districts around the area. You have top-notch people in your facilities department. Mr. Early is correct. I'm actually coming back out tomorrow to do a post-inspection on your last elementary school you're finishing out. So that, I think, completes that portion of it. So that's really exciting stuff. Congratulations.
You know, that's what they all say, but we're just for the money, you know.
Joe,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Get a picture in here.
Thank you, Gustavo.
Thank you. Rest the meeting in the dark so that we can save
electricity. If we wouldn't have so many meetings, Dr. Murphy,
oh, maybe that's it.
We could save more.
All right. Well, thank you, Gustavo, and our administration for the presentations on agenda item two. Certainly, we want to, again, congratulate the girls' team. They did it. I don't know how many years in a row they've done it, but I know they did it last year. And we really want to congratulate them. They're getting closer and closer. We seem to be in the wrong regional area, though, to get beat by Plainview, the eventual finalists in the state championship. So one of these days, we'll get past that. All right. Board, anybody, any comments? All right. Again, thanks for the presentations. And clearly, an agenda item C, the presentation from El Paso Electric Company for our implementation of the Phase 1 lighting, sure is a nice thing to see. It's come to fruition. It's taken several years to for the planning and finally the implementation. We've been talking about this for the last 3-4 years, and thank you, Mr. Armendariz, and your team and administration for finally getting this done. And that's only part of our energy efficiency plan that we have for the district. More yet to come in the near future. So thank you again. All right, Tony, next agenda item.
Superintendent's comments, Dr. Murphy.
Through the chair, thank you for that. I was thrilled to reap those savings. They were specifically pointed out throughout the entire budget stakeholders committee, and it's great to see a portion of them come to fruition. President, board members, I would just love to comment on three items. First of all, our ongoing bond TRE election, which we've branded Decision Canyon TO 2011. We're in the middle of finishing our faculty meetings. Today, Gustavo and I presented at Canyon TO Elementary, tomorrow at Alberete Middle School. We've done most of the schools, and we're getting around. Very proud of Davenport. I think she left on Thursday night last week, or Wednesday night. We had our parent community chat. We had over 125 parents there. Gustavo and I presented. He's doing the Spanish presentation. I'm doing the English. A fantastic meeting. Our next chat is this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at Canyon Teo Elementary. And we invite board members, whoever would like to come out to go over that presentation. Also, as I've mentioned before, we are excited that the community has formed a political action committee with Jaime Vela as chair, and I just want to inform the board that that is moving forward. Regarding the tax test, last week we kicked off the 2010 tax season with the reading language arts test. Just about all our students, grades 3 through 11, were involved in the first tax test of the season, and it went off without a flaw. No testing irregularities, no issue whatsoever. We're very proud of that. Especially, I want to thank John Warren. This was his first, he's been the testing coordinator all of about 3 months, and this was his first tax administration, and he did a fantastic job, and very proud of that. Finally, spring break shutdown, more energy management savings. Beginning Friday after school, the entire district will be shut down the entire spring break to save energy. Ernesto will have his team out. They start around 4 o'clock on Friday. They go to every campus, every facility. They make sure that principals have turned off every light, unplugged every computer, and done a checklist. And they work on, it's an interesting piece of it. Ernesto's team, the day they turn off the for a shutdown, normally works till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, going to every school to make sure everything's shut down. And I thank them in advance for that. We will have a couple of areas up and running, some athletic facilities at the high school in particular, but 98% of the district will be completely shut down. So we look forward to that, and we reap, when we shut down for a week, approximately $25,000 in savings. So we'll save that.
Excellent news.
Thank you very much, President.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Board, any comments? All right. And, you know, and some of those issues were brought up. I was in attendance last week at the Canyon Teo Middle School Parents Advisory Committee, and some of those issues are in the minds of the parents in terms of the energy efficiency and the shutdowns. People were asking about why couldn't we close some of the days throughout the year, and I explained to them that, you know, we have a calendar. Once we have our calendar set, we have a certain number of days we have to attend school by what the state requires. And so apart from that, we can't really, you know, control shutting more of those days. But during the times that we're off, clearly I did communicate to the parents that, in fact, we do those during the summer and when we get opportunities like spring break. So, all right. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Tony?
Item 4A, Community Scholars Presentation of Annual Program. Ms. Larkin.
Good evening, Ms. Larkin. Good, how are you?
Good evening, Board President Coronado, Board of Trustees, and Dr. Murphy. I'm Sophia Larkin Appleby, and I've had the honor of serving as the Executive Director of Community Scholars since 2006. On behalf of Community Scholars, I'm here to say thank you. The 2010 Community Scholars are Alyssa Rosas from Camotillo and Robert Ballesteros from Natchez. Alyssa is away at school, and Robert had another commitment. I know you have a full agenda, so I'll only speak for a few minutes. 100% of our students go to college. In El Paso County, 18% of adults have a college degree. Scholars attribute much of their success to our program. The Community Scholars Program, now in its 14th year, has provided students from all over El Paso County the opportunity to participate in a paid, intensive research internship. The scholars are trained in research methodology, data analysis, and advocacy skills. In 2010, scholars heard from over 25 working professionals during May training and curriculum alone, including Congressman Reyes, whose press secretary, Ben Spettis, is a former scholar. In addition to the technical portion of the program, scholars must contribute a minimum of 20 community service hours in the months following the paid portion of the internship. In 2010, scholars worked on 12 important community service projects that they organized and executed themselves, and totaling well over 100 service hours. Scholars may attend a week-long trip to Austin where they meet with our state government officials, including legislators and agency heads. We were in Austin in February for El Paso Days at the state legislature, and the scholars had a rich educational experience. They spoke personally to Dr. Natalicio, to Fort Bliss representatives, they met Governor Perry, they met many, many people. It's an amazing experience. Amazingly, for many of our past scholars, the Austin trip is their first time outside of El Paso, and that's the most profound thing I've ever heard on that trip. Students from all over El Paso County have participated in this life-changing youth leadership development program as first and second year scholars, college supervisors, program coordinators, and board members for over a decade. It's truly a life-changing opportunity for these future leaders. The success of our program is uniquely tied to the support we receive from our partner school districts and our private partnerships like AT&T, El Paso Electric, Walmart, the Hunt Family Foundation. Over the last 13 years, we've been privileged to guide your students in their educational journey. And much like the CISD mission, we believe we're laying the groundwork for student excellence and quality education that goes beyond their 4 years of high school. As members of the board, you recognize the importance of educational opportunities, and you overwhelmingly committed to the excellence of your students. You do that every day. You made the difficult decision to cut the Community Scholars Program in 2011. Building on our 13-year partnership, we hope to be partners in this educational process again in the near future. It's my personal goal to ensure that Canateo students continue to participate. We know you share our excitement at the success and accomplishments of CISD students who have completed our program. Their success is an affirmation of our partnership and recognizes that our mission complements the district's commitment to educational opportunities for your students. Through Community Scholars and our curriculum, we promote participation for CISD scholars interested in or already working on fulfilling the requirements of the TEA-recognized Distinguished Achievement Program, which of course you all know is the highest level of graduation, which has been utilized successfully by many scholars since its inception. From the interview to the end of each summer, our scholars are completely transformed. It's something I witness firsthand year after year. We don't create these amazing young leaders. You provide us with sharp young minds, well-trained students, and young people who have incredible drive and initiative. I wish you could see them at work every day. But we do develop their talents and their skills to propel them even further. For 13 years, we worked consistently to provide the best opportunities for your students. We believe that our capacity for maintaining these pathways can continue on an upward and dynamic trajectory. Your affirmation of support and continued financial commitment in 2012 ensures that Canateo students from both Camotillo and Natchez have access to our program and can build a dynamic set of experiences that enriches their education now and as they matriculate into college. I've given you a brochure that tells you, it's a real easy at a glance, tells you what we do, and of course the published reports from 2010, which is what the scholars work on. When you look at those reports, they complete those in approximately 5 weeks' time. They go through their maker filling training, they work on those reports, they make their community presentations. After the paid portion, they're still working on community service, then they're going to Austin, and then they can apply for a second year. They continue to be in touch. I just wrote a letter of recommendation for a Canateo student, Isaac Rodarte, who's a UTEP student now, who's looking at an internship. He's a phenomenal kid, great kid, humble family, in Santiago, Chile, which is where my mom is from. So I was thrilled to do that for someone like Isaac. So yeah, Alvarez is at UT Austin. She couldn't even open her mouth to speak before Community Scholars. She is doing fantastic. She's at UT Austin. She did an honor semester in Spain. She's getting ready to graduate. She's in constant contact with us, and she volunteers time when she comes in town to visit her family. You should also have received the 2010 program report from Dr. Murphy that I sent while we were in Austin. I touched base. And so I hope that I'm happy to resend that just to show you everything, everyone they heard from, all of the experiences that they had. But again, we're here to say thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all that you do for our students.
Thank you, Ms. Larkin Appleby. Appreciate
much.
Your presentation, and we thank you for the work you do with the kids of this area. Clearly, this program is great learning opportunity for our children to actually real world problems, real world solutions that come from them and their own applications of what they think this community needs and how we should progress forward. You know, a lot of these. Research projects that these students have done have been relied on by many government agencies for their own planning, and so
That's right.
It's a really high-level research that they do, presentation and solutions that these kids do, and so we thank you for the work
thank you
for working with our kids.
Thank you.
Board?
I have a comment.
Patsy.
Ms. Larkin, I witnessed what the transformation that you speak of for our students. I want to thank you. I know that times are tough, and hopefully this coming school year we could look at maybe bringing you all back. But I know, because I saw the success that was achieved by our students participating in Community Scholars, so thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. I appreciate it. Thank you for all you do.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
And also I've witnessed as well, and I feel that, I've seen, some of the students and some of the presentations and some of the, research that has been done, as well as some of the solutions that some of these students come up in it. It's a great opportunity for our kids to actually, succeed and actually learn how to address issues and come up with solutions. So I just wanted to thank you. Hopefully we can continue depending on budget. So.
Absolutely. And we realize everyone is facing cuts. We were at the state legislature, and that's what Governor Perry told the students. And we understand that. We understand how much it affects El Paso. And now, when I say El Paso, I mean from Batons to Canofield. I mean the whole picture. And we need representation of all of our El Paso people, from Vegas to Gunnerville, to be involved in this program and to be future leaders. So thank you all you do.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, could I ask
Ms.
a question?
Searles.
Probably of Dr. Murphy. Dr. Murphy, Ms. Larkin, what is the cost?
The cost, since 1998, we've never changed the cost, although we've added value and the price has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
We've partners, so the cost per student is $6,100. So people look at that figure, and they say, oh my gosh, this isn't a week of youth leadership, which
no,
is fantastic.
I just heard it's incredible.
It's incredible. And so that is the cost per scholar.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again. All right. Certainly something to look at that we can address in the coming months after the TRE successful passage. All right. Thank you again, Ms. Larkin Appleby. Appreciate your presentation. All right, next agenda item, Tony.
Item 4B, consider approval of request for use of school facilities from the Congregation of Jehovah's Witness.
I move to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 4B. Anybody require any information on this agenda item?
Through the chair, I can tell you they did this exact same thing last year.
Right. I know we approved this last year, and it was the auditorium, right? So, okay. Any further discussion or comments? Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Item 4C, consider approval of request for use of school facilities from Compan. Excuse me, I can't pronounce it. Thank you.
All right.
And I move to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item 4C to approve a request for use of school facilities from Compañerismo Familiar Cristiano Inc. It is on your supplementary materials on page 12. Pastor Solis, I guess, is requesting this for Canutillo Middle School's band room and gym. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item, Tony.
Item 4D, consider approval of board resolutions. Mr. Rodriguez.
And I guess there's four resolutions on the table, and each resolution, what I'll do is read in, but dealing with the permanent school fund, which has been increased and allows us to get a AAA bond rating. That was an importance. And then the next one, which is the Hold Harmless, which holds us at the 2006 fiscal levels. And then the next one with the Mexican Americans and the development of the state of Texas. And I'll go, is this each line item separate?
Yeah, we can take
each. Yeah, we'll just do it separate. And then what I'll do, and of course the last one is hopefully they'll expand IFA and EDA, even though this bond program, if it were to pass, would not get affected by this IFA and EDA. But in the future, it's been a tremendous benefit for the district. So what I'll do is read each first with the first board resolution and then make a motion, and if anybody has any questions, we can go from there. But the first being the board resolution number 2011, whereas the multi-billion dollar permanent school fund overseen by the State Board of Education has been used since 1983 to back school districts' bonds, and whereas the major rating companies, Moody's Investors Service, Standard & Poor's Ratings Group, and Fitch Ratings, give bonds backed by the permanent school fund their highest possible rating, and whereas receiving this top AAA rating saves district millions of dollars on their bond issuance, now therefore be it resolved that the Canutillo ISD Board of Trustees supports legislation to protect the permanent school fund, and be it further resolved that the board supports the role of the State Board of Education in managing the permanent school fund. And so we're hoping to adopt this tonight, as well as once this is adopted, we would like it to go to our local legislation, as well as the State Board of Education. So with that, I make a motion to approve the board resolution number 2011-1.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item D1. Board resolution 2011-1 is read by Mr. Rodriguez. Any comments? Discussion by the board on this item? All right, and you know, one of the issues on this is currently, actually some of this money is proposed to be and to help out the state in the current financial crisis that we do. And it's clearly, we hope that this continues. Without this, our insurance, or rather our, actually not just that, it's kind of like an insurance on our bonds, but would be a little bit higher. Not only that, the interest rates would be higher, and so definitely we want to support this resolution. Anybody else? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Cuartado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right, next item.
Board Resolution Number 2011. Whereas in the West Orange Cove case, plaintiff districts argued that our school finance system was in violation of our state constitution, and whereas the state funding system did not meet the efficiency equity standard in our constitution, and the level of funding provided by the state system was not sufficient for districts to provide a general diffusion of knowledge, and the local property tax had in effect become a state property tax, and whereas districts lacked meaningful local discretion and to set property tax rate below the maximum MNO tax rate and still provide a general diffusion of knowledge, and whereas when a district loses its ability to determine and its property tax rate, the tax in effect becomes the state property tax, and whereas the state constitution prohibits a state property tax, and whereas the court found that the cost of providing a general diffusion of knowledge required a property tax rate that was at or very near to the maximum rate, and that districts lacked the meaningful local discretion to set tax rates below the maximum and or to provide programs and services that exceed those required by the state, and whereas the current law reserves 0.17 of tax rate for the meaningful local discretion and leaving 1.17 to help fund the base program, and whereas the hold harmless provision is not related to cost and defensible only for a transition, now therefore be it that the Gunnison Independent School District Board of Trustees will support legislation to systematically decrease hold harmless, and be it further that the board will support legislation to ensure the expiration of hold harmless within a reasonable time.
All right.
And I so move.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second on agenda item D2, Board Resolution 2011-2. Any comments, discussion by the board on this item? No? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Cuartado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Next item.
Board Resolution Number 2011-3. Whereas Mexican Americans have played a significant role in the development of the state of Texas in the nation, and whereas current state adopted textbooks do not adequately portray the role of Mexican Americans in the development of our great state and nation, and whereas the contributions of Mexican Americans are well documented in primary source records and accessible to textbook publishers, and whereas students of Mexican American descent would greatly benefit from learning about the contributions of Mexican Americans throughout history, and whereas all students have the right to a quality education which provides a truthful and authentic description of historical facts, now therefore be it resolved that the Canoteo ISD Board of Trustees will support legislation to include additional information in history books about the impact Mexican Americans have in the development of the state of Texas and the nation. And I also move on.
All right, I have a motion on agenda item.
I second
that. Board Resolution Number 2011-3, and I have a second. Any comments or discussion from the board on this item? You know, it's 4 years ago, though, our board, I think it was about 4 years ago, our board sent a similar resolution. And there is a professor at the University of Texas at Austin that is focusing on just such in the English department. That is focusing on just such these things. Not only that, for failure to include certain, the accomplishments rather, and the participation of Mexican Americans, even in World War II, you know, the point that systematically have been excluded from the history texts, you know. And it's sad that even nowadays we're starting to see those things, wanting to exclude certain of our you know, from even our textbooks most recently, you know, people such as, you know, Cesar Chavez, even Martin Luther King and some of the other greats who have contributed greatly, not just to the state, but to the country and the world. You know, it's sad that we can't tell it like it is because of politics that get involved in the school system in terms of the textbooks and the history books. So I fully support this. And it's not just Mexican Americans that get left off. A lot of other ethnic minorities get left off.
You know? And Mr.
Chair? Mr. Rodriguez.
I wish I've been looking for this quote all day, and it's a New York chancellor, and he talks about, you know, reading in his history books about Shakespeare and Albert Einstein, and, you know, what will I know of myself and what my people have contributed. And I think it's critical for, you know, history books to be diverse and be accurate and portray all the facts that actually happen, so that way, you know, when our children are going to school, or well, mine, right? When my children are going to school, that they get that, those, they get some understanding of what some of the Mexican Americans have contributed to society and have been left out of textbooks.
Right. You know, one of the things that I think one of the resolutions also that we sent last time around, 4 years ago, I think it was, that, you know, it was to, you know, we think that this doesn't get the attention, but I know last time around we sent some of these resolutions to directly to the legislative committees and the chairman of the legislative committee that heads the appropriate subject matter for the legislative session. And it didn't, we didn't think that at the time that our resolutions would help, but part of one of those resolutions we sent in the past was to basically put forward to have the mariachi group as a UIL fully sanctioned UIL competition. And sure enough, it passed. And so, you know, we can be proud of some of the things that we've done, resolutions that locally we've sent on to the legislature that have become, you know, that have come to fruition. So they do hear about it, especially if we send it directly to them. So anybody else?
I have one question.
Ms. Searles.
Do you think you ought to add the Chinese?
I have no problem in adding.
You know, because everybody acts like they weren't even here. They built the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was specifically Chinese. I could say Oriental, but I think it was Chinese.
Should we create another resolution, or you want to?
Mm-mm. Could just add them, because they're really, nobody talks about them. You know, El Paso's got an incredibly rich Chinese history, and nobody even knows of that either.
That is true.
So maybe just, you know, add them on to it.
Would it be Chinese Americans or?
Sure.
And Chinese
mm-hmm.
Americans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Will you so amend your motion
and
your second?
Yeah, I'll amend my motion.
All right. And we, Mr. Rodriguez.
That's fine for right now. We know that the State Board of Education, I don't know some of the stuff that's currently going on. And there's talk and, you know, going through some of the research, I think it was the New York Times or something that talks about how the State Board of Education wants to decrease the influence, or not the influence, but the representation that Hispanics have in the textbooks. And so that's the State Board of Education, and that's something that we need to counter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to do it differently, separate, or just leave it like that for right now. And so I think it addresses it like this, but we do need to send it to the State Board of Education as
mm-hmm.
well.
Well, maybe a recommendation would be that we include it by saying Mexican Americans, Chinese Americans, and other American ethnic minorities.
Sure.
It's not just, you know, it's
Native American.
It's not just, you know, Mexican-Americans that get excluded. It's really,
yeah,
it's a systematic exclusion of other ethnic minorities, American ethnic minorities, too.
That was good wording, sir.
I'll amend my motion.
You'll so amend it?
Yes, thank you.
Letty? All right. We have a new motion on agenda item number 3, board resolution number 2011-3, as amended. Do we have any discussion or comments? Hearing none, Tony?
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Kinghorn?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Sarah?
Yes.
All right, that takes us to agenda item 4 under D.
One more.
Yeah. Yeah, number okay. 2011-4.
Board resolution number 2011-4, whereas Texas provides state aid for facilities through equalized support for debt services taxes, whereas an instructional facilities allotment assists low wealth school districts in paying debt service and unbonded indebtedness or new instructional facilities, and whereas an existing debt allotment is available to all districts to provide equalized assistance for existing debt, and whereas both IFA and EDA funds are calculated using a guaranteed yield program, and whereas districts levy a debt service tax and raise as much of the yield as possible from local property taxes, and whereas the state makes up the difference between what the district raises from property taxes and the total guaranteed yield, and whereas state support for debt service for facilities is limited to the amount of money appropriated by the Texas legislature, and whereas low wealth school districts depend on IFA and EDA in order to meet the demands of increasing student enrollment, which fuels the needs for new instructional facilities, now therefore be it that resolved that the Canadian Independent School District Board of Trustees supports legislation to continue and expand funding for IFA and EDA.
All right. I'll entertain a motion on this item.
I so move.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second on agenda item D4, board resolution number 2011-4. Any comments or discussion from the board, Mr. Rodriguez?
I know that we discussed the permanent school on the PSF, the whole harmless, and IFA, EDA, and something that we need to look at is the funding formula system that the state gives. And I would like to direct administration to come up with a formula on the funding formula system that the state gives and how inequitable and in the long term the inequities that we're going to see some type of resolution at that point. Do you get what I'm saying, Mr.? The inequities, the way the funding formula system went from 2006 and how it went from $1.50 to $1, and how the inequities are within the school districts, and supposedly they were supposed to have us at the 83rd percentile, which is Austin ISD. Mm-hmm. But in the long term, if you see school districts doing rollbacks, and some the ones that pass it and the ones that don't, you're going to see a lot of inequities in the long term. So they need to create a funding formula system that is equitable, that is fair, and that is just.
I know, but that might be more appropriate for a future board since we don't have an item on that on the agenda for that. So we ought to probably stick to this resolution for now. Yeah. But I agree that we need to look at something like that in the next meeting.
And the other, on this resolution and on some of the other issues, I think, I don't know with the administration, our local, whether it be the state, the Senate, or the House of Rep, our local representatives, Jose or DeMargo, to have some type of discussion about these resolutions and some of the issues that are facing our district. I think that would be beneficial for us to sit down and communicate some of our concerns.
Do we have a motion and a second already on this agenda item? All right. Any further discussion or comments? All right. If not, Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Cano?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
All right.
Chair.
Motion passes. Dr. Murphy.
President, I just want to make a note to the board. I had a couple of inquiries as to the Board of Trustees' business, why the travel discussion wasn't there. And I apologize for that and take responsibility. It will be there on the March 29th meeting in plenty of time for any issue regarding the San Antonio trip.
Okay.
The office that runs that doesn't even open until April 1st, so we'll be fine. We'll have that for the March 29th meeting.
All right, that will be fine. All right, next agenda item.
Item 5 is open forum, and we don't have anyone who signed up.
All right, then that takes us to agenda item 6.
Item 6 is the consent agenda to consider approval of board meeting minutes of January 20th, January 27th, February 8th, February 15th, February 16th, February 22nd, and February 24th, 2011. The attendance, financial, and warrant list for February 1st through the 28th, 2011, in the total amount of $800,478.11. Budget amendments, acceptance of donations, proclamation 2011 for textbook selections, award of RFP 11-08 E-rate year 14 internal connections, project 5.2 in the total amount of $166,611.76 to Desert Communications, and statements of impact for charter school applications from El Paso Connections Charter School, El Paso Country Day Preparatory, Responsive Education Solutions, and Paradigm Accelerated Charter Schools.
All right. Before I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda, would any of the trustees like to have any of those items pulled for separate discussion and voting? Ms. Searles.
I would like number 3, February 8th special meeting.
All right.
I would also like F, the approval of RFP 1108 E rate year 14.
Okay. All right. Agenda item A3 and F will be pulled. Any other trustee like any other item pulled? No? I don't really want to pull agenda item B. I just want to make a comment on agenda item B, which is the attendance, financial, and warrant list. I've received some communication and great communication from both the district attorney's office and the judge's office, Judge Keynes, with respect to our truancy filings in JP7. And Ms. Ward went out of her way to praise what the high school is doing in terms of the truancy issue. And she says it is 100% different and that it is on track. And then she had nothing but great things to say about our principal. So.
It's fantastic, and we did have that as one of the board superintendent goals that we adopted on August 10th last year, and we've done a lot of work to make sure we meet that goal.
Right, and just maybe one of the other things we need to look at is to see if there's any issues at the middle schools. I know that typically it's the high school and the middle schools that we have most of those issues. So I just want to check to see what's going on at the middle at the two middle schools. But I've heard nothing but great praise for our high school involvement now in the truancy issues. So,
all right. Tony, can you make a note for middle school report regarding truancy? Thank you. We'll get that to y'all.
All right. So we will be pulling under the consent agenda items A3 and F. Any other board member like to have any other item pulled? All right, if not, I'll entertain a motion on the consent agenda with the exceptions of item A3 and F.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second on the consent agenda with the exceptions of items A3 and F. Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Searles, agenda item A3. The February 8th board meeting.
Yes. Maybe Mr. Armendariz or Ms. Aguirre. The true cost of our boiler. The board approved a $45,000 emergency fund for the boiler. And I was wondering what the reality of the cost on the boiler was.
Gotcha.
It didn't pass the 45,000. I can tell you that. I don't know the exact number,
okay,
but I know that we stayed within that number. We did find out that one of the pumps that we thought was fine was cracked.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I want to thank you all for that extra amount of money that was put in there, but I think that was something somewhere in the neighborhood of about $300 or something to get it paid. I will get you a true cost. I wasn't ready for that.
Okay. Ms. Aguirre, do you?
No, I don't. I'd have to go back and look at the POs.
And the second half to the question is, depending on what it cost, what did we do with the other money that was emergency approved?
It just remains in that account. It was taken out of the bond funds for improvements.
Uh-huh.
And so basically we are expecting a reimbursement from the insurance.
Oh, good.
So all the funding will go back for continued use through the bond projects.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Charles. Oh, is that it for that item?
Yeah, for that one, that's perfect.
All right, I'll entertain a motion on agenda item A3.
So moved.
And I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item A3, approval of the February 8th, 2011 special meeting minutes. Any further discussion? Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Item F.
Mm-hmm. Annette, I guess you're going to be the one. Annette, this is for a school that doesn't exist.
And that's why the difficulty in it, absolutely. And we had to bring it back and look at it again. And we are looking at equipment that has like alphabet soup attached to it, which means it's like it would be a router, a CXZ341. Mm-hmm. We're only trying to match apples and apples. You're exactly right. It doesn't exist. Again, though, I have to put in for it in order to get the E-rate discount, you know, which is the 12 cents, the 13 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is typical of what we'll do is I'll put in for this. And then once I have an address in July 1st, you know, we'll know in July 1st if the bond or mm-hmm. everything passes. Then I put in my E-rate application, actually put in the application this week. But I don't have to put a budget in until July 1st. When I put the budget in July 1st, I'll have a scope, a plan for the new school, or I'll just file it and they'll say by probably about October they'll ask me for a review or a mm-hmm. schematics on the school, and if I have it I'll send it. Then they'll give me a year from that date, and if that school's not built then all I have to do is apply to E-rate, ask them for an extension, tell them that we now have an address, okay, this is the layout of the school, this is how many drops I'm going to have, and then they say, okay, and they give me another extension. But I was just trying to get in when the getting was good.
And they're fine with you doing this on the
account? Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, you're right.
And
we did it with, it was done with Garcia.
Okay.
The exact same thing. And it's kind of operating like with a crystal ball.
Well, but Garcia was on a little bit firmer ground from what I can understand. Wasn't quite so dependent on, you know, outcomes.
Right. And, you know, the absolutely worst thing that could happen is I file a Form 500 and say thank you, but no thank you.
Okay, so we will not have received funding to do this.
No,
we are just submitting to say, if everything goes right, we're going to use this for
it's
this.
Just putting all the
okay.
next in order.
Thank you. I appreciate the explanation. Thank you very much. That'll do it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Earls and Annette. All right, I'll entertain a motion on agenda item 6F.
So,
all right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item 6F to approve the award of RFP 11-08 E-rate year 14. Any further comments, discussion from the board? Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right. Next agenda item.
Item 7, report and public hearing, budget projections update and public hearing on 2011-12 tax rate. Ms. Aguilar.
I have a question. Dr. Murphy, would it not make sense to put that screen on that wall so that we could all really see it?
Well, that's great. I think the issue was simply the audience then would not see
it. Then they just turn their chairs around.
Should we move it over to the screen? Will that screen
right there? I don't think it helps. Oh, can y'all see that one better? I could see that one better, but I don't.
Well, either way we put it, some people are going to get blocked.
So you think it'd be...
I don't know, you know.
Will it be big enough? Is it just getting blocked, or is it the size?
I don't have a problem with, you know, as long as the audience can see it. We have the presentation.
Oh, okay.
So
that'll be fine.
We have the presentation before us.
Yeah, we've got it right
us.
Here. You're right.
Okay.
So,
but for future, maybe that might be a good.
If the voters feel the bond is appropriate, we'll get an upgrade on that.
It didn't need an upgrade. It just needs to be moved down a little bit. It's okay.
Okay. Ms. Aguilar.
Good evening. Good evening. Mr. Bonanno, board members, Dr. Murphy. This evening I'll be presenting three items. The financial allocation study for Texas, which is a 2010 study that was just released in December. And then I will also be presenting on the preliminary budget projections and the public hearing for tax rate setting for the 2011-12 school year. And I'll begin by starting, of course, that in public education, we're facing a lot of uncertainties with the legislation as far as what our budget will be, based on the fact that Texas has a $27 billion deficit that they're having to face. Public education has spent double during the last decade, from 98 to 99 to this current school year, from going from $28 billion to $55 billion. For people with expenditures. The enrollment growth, although you think, well, hey, they're growing, so we're kind of growing with the kids, we still increased by 63% across the state. And it's just school districts in general. As during the 2009 legislature, House Bill 3 was passed, in which they directed the Texas Comptroller to integrate an academic performance measure which would measure financial data along with identify potential areas of district and campus improvement. This would be through examining academic progress throughout the school district as well as the spending that the school districts are doing. There are no set uniform standards for districts as far as what they can follow in allocating. There's not one recipe that meets every school district, because as you are aware, we've got over 1,200 school districts in Texas, and we range from enrollment size to geographic, demographic. There's just too many variables to consider, so there isn't one recipe for everyone to follow. And so the cost of education is influenced by many factors. The financial allocation study for Texas, which I will be referring to as a FAST study, gives ratings that indicate success when combining academic progress with financial spending, cost-effective spending. And the research that the comptroller's office used was research from an average of 3 years, from 2006 through 2009.
And through the chair, I think that's an important point. This is lagging data from 2006 through 2009.
But also through the chair, if I'm not mistaken, this is what the school cuts are going to be made on. So lagging or not, this is what the legislature is going to use, and these are our numbers, so it's very relevant.
The 2010 FAST ratings, basically, as I stated earlier, are made up of the academic progress for the school district along with the spending index. The composite academic progress rating is measured by the combined math and reading annual progress of the school district, of course, on a three-year average. And this is based on tax scores. And the spending index is measured by district core operating expenditures per pupil and wages adjusted by geographic variations. I will just point out, this is the report. This is the FAST report. It's available online. They share a lot of very good information. However, when it comes down to the actual ratings, it just doesn't seem not everything is considered. You can run the reports in very many ways, you know, different ways, from enrollment to academic ratings to spending index. And so you get different results when you run these reports. But it's definitely a very good picture as to what Texas school districts are doing and how they're functioning. And so basically, what it's meaning is that on the top, and I know it's a little hard to see, but the spending index is on the top. And again, that's based on operating expenditures per pupil projection. And they range from very high average to very low. And then on the bottom left side, the composite academic progress percentile, that is based on the combined math and reading percentage rate that they give. And so this next slide, what I'm going to do is provide the information as to how Canutillo ISD fared in this study. And so Canutillo received a FAST rating of 3 stars. And that was based out of the decision resulting from the composite academic percentile of 73. Again, that's an average of our 87 in reading and a 43 in math. And that's how we ended up with a 73 on our composite academic percentile. Under our spending index, we were classified as high. And this was based on the optimum fund balance, which we had at 96.8%, a ratio of budgeted to actual spending of 97.9, instructional spending ratios of 62.4, and then the cost adjusted for operating expenditures per pupil, we were at 8,772. And again, this was an accountability rating of academically acceptable. Again, as we mentioned, this rating doesn't make any judgment relative. What it said is the rating does not make any judgment of the relative value of the spending versus academic progress, recognizing that different school districts have different priorities and different constraints. But it definitely is a very good tool to just analyze where our district is in the spectrum of things. This next slide is basically the Region 19 ratings. How did we fare with the other school districts in our area? As I stated earlier, Canutillo had a 3-star rating. Anthony ISD, Fabens ISD, Isleta ISD, Socorro ISD, and San Elizario ISD all had 3.5. And I did note the composite academic progress, which you can see down the column, as well as their spending index. El Paso ISD was also a 3-star, just like we were. And they were under a very high spending index, where most of the districts were at the high level. And then I did provide the enrollment information. What I also did provide you is with a district overview, and it's a second handout that I shared with you all. And this one is a report based on our enrollment. And this is how other districts are sized, their results of districts that are our size. It was attached with a paper clip to your presentation. Any questions this far?
Anybody have any questions? No? All right, go ahead.
Okay, so what resulted of all the study? Well, based on the report, the overall purpose of the FAST report is to give school districts recommendations on what the effective 5-star school districts are doing to keep high academic progress and low spending index values. And so basically, of the 1,200 school districts we've got in Texas, 43 actually made the 5-star rating. And based on their experiences or things that they do, measures that they use at their districts, they compiled a listing of recommendations that is, again, they urge districts to look at and see where we can actually implement some of their cost-saving measures to benefit our district. As I read through the report, it never stated that this would be the measure that would be used for legislative cuts. However, they did encourage this to be the guidance for districts because we are facing financial situations across Texas. This is a measure that we can use to maybe find cost-saving measures. I will add that a lot of, as I reviewed the recommendations, we have implemented many of them, from staffing reviews, class size waivers, co-op use in the purchasing department to get better prices for different shared service agreements, which we do have some of those as well. They mentioned C-Scope because this is a tool that teachers are able to use to help them do their planning and not, you know, take more time and resources to do this. They did mention Project Share, which I believe Pam Fierro is looking into that, and basically it's, again, Project Share is web-based networking that provides teacher training. So, you know, again, we save on travel of teachers' places instead of doing the Project Share. They have discussed a lot of the electronic textbooks and something that the state of Texas wants to implement. Of course, with electronic textbooks and many of the other recommendations, they do say you're going to have to make the expense up front with technology resources. However, the payoff is a good one, significant. They talked about networking, new routing softwares for transportation, which will make them more efficient. They talked about, you know, financial software. They talked about, again, electronic textbooks. In order to have that available to our students, we definitely have to revamp our network system that we've got. They spoke about dual credit through EPCC, which we're already doing. So there's a lot of measures that we've already implemented and have seen savings through. But they do have very many, you know, many others that we can review and consider. And so again, the savings are, or the recommendations are through instruction, purchasing, facilities, energy saving measures, which again, we're doing that as well. We saw tonight some of the benefits of that. Transportation, technology, and shared services. And so that concludes my portion of the presentation on the FAST rating. Do you have any other questions?
Anybody have any questions or comments on the presentation?
I do. You know, one of the things that they don't take a look at is the type of student that comes into the district and the needs that they come in with.
Right.
You know, in our district, traditionally, actually on a percentage-wise basis, we have more people with higher needs, like with limited English proficiency, that come to our district than any other district, even in this region, in Region 19. You know, so they don't account for all of these other factors that require us to spend more for students, more resources for those students that have these other needs that aren't necessarily present in these other districts. If they're going to do something like this, and I know it's, they're not making judgments, but they have made judgments, and I kind of, you know, if they're going to do something like this, then they ought to do something comprehensive. I just, you know, I disagree with what they're doing. They want to put forward to how we can, you know, improve. That's great, but you got to count apples to apples.
And I think that's,
and they're not doing it.
They often mentioned it throughout the report, the fact that, you know, there was no one recipe because, you know, our student makeup is different, but they didn't actually consider it when they gave us the
Yeah. It's like, we know you spend more because of some of you may spend more because you have different kind of student makeup and require more money, but we're not going to take a look at that.
Exactly.
And then also, President, if I may,
yes,
to the chair, I think it is interesting to compare us across Region 19. No district in Region 19 scored off the chart on this, which I think bodes to your comment about the type of student that's out here. Also, if you do look at the 43 districts that are top five star, a lot of districts are on that list that have very little at-risk populations. And I think that is, not all of them, but there is a large number of them that have that type of situation.
Yeah, and I can see one of them there that sticks out right in front of me on the first page. So, anyways, but...
Mr. Chair, I asked for this to be discussed because in our Lone Star magazine that the school board puts out, Mr. Eisler, who is the House Public Education Committee Chair, has said it was asked, will the cuts be across the board to all districts, this 5% to 10%? And he says no, that the cuts are to be made that they're not going to do it across the board because that's not the right thing to do. They want to make it efficient in what they cut. And I'm reading from this, they are going to use the FAST allocation to find peer districts and look at us. And in so doing, not say, everybody's getting a 5% cut. Everybody's getting a 7% cut. That is not their intent.
Right.
And so this is why I asked that we would be aware of this, because saying that we're going to get a 5% cut is not correct information. We are going to get a cut, even though these are old numbers, based on our efficiency as they can see them.
Right, and that what I disagree is that their efficiency doesn't account for all factors.
But obviously it's all they have, and I thought it was really important. In fact, if you want, I could have Tony make everybody a copy of this that you could think about in our budget projections that are upcoming.
You know, they have this information, and I'm glad you brought this out, Lori, because they have this information in terms of our funding formula right now, is what we receive in terms for the LEP students and how much their, the weighted averages for attendance. They have that information. I mean, it's not like they can't consider it, but that's what they're doing.
I didn't make it. I'm just, I'm only the messenger, Sergeant.
I know, and I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying that, this is the state trying to go about, when times are tough, they're going to find some way, albeit not a great way, of trying to cut people. So people who have higher needs and have to spend more per pupil because of the type of resources that are needed, like LEP, and they say, well, it doesn't, we're not considering that, but all other factors we're going to consider, and we're going to cut you. So those people in those districts where the higher needs for students end up getting what? Shortchanged again. This is a sad truth, but anyways.
And I would say, Mr. Torres, I hope, although I appreciate the article, we got an update last night at Texas Association of School Principals meeting, and it's very fluid right now, still is. So what Eisler is saying, Shapiro might not be agreeing with, so.
I think she agrees in the same article, but yes, I know, but this seems to be what is going to be their basis at this point. And as you know, there's a lot of points between now and when they set that budget.
That's true, absolutely.
And maybe we ought to, somehow communicate this to our legislative delegation that we object to them not including in these formulas under the FAST ratings the fact that there are greater needs in some school districts because of the makeup of the student body.
Back to what Mr. Rodriguez has said.
Yeah.
We need to call these people and hold them accountable.
Yep. I think we do.
Yeah, there are local representatives. They're all we have.
That's right. Beginning with our representative, Mr. Margo.
Yeah.
So.
I would love to see us give him an invitation or a letter or something.
We let's do that, or let's.
Education's a priority. Maybe.
Well, we need to send him our resolutions.
Let's send him our resolutions, and I think we ought to do something of a letter with regard to the the FAST rating for the district, and that it doesn't take into account these other issues. Just to be cognizant of that fact.
Roundtable discussion with our legislators.
It's going to be hard to get them on while they're in town right now.
I'm talking about our two. Hopefully we could get our senator and our...
D and Rodriguez?
D and Rodriguez. Those are our two main representatives.
I think what we ought to start is sending them a letter and inviting them to come if they want. But
yeah.
All right, we'll do a draft letter regarding the FAST rating, our resolutions, and then also the resolution Mondo was discussing about possible issues regarding the whole funding formula.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Next,
we'll give it to you guys in draft form.
I guess on the letter, if we can make it where I know the Senate and the House will probably break in different times, but if they do have a time when they're in El Paso and do a town hall or something, or something just to,
Either that or even just ask for information from their offices as to what they think is going on and what,
Keep us abreast.
Keep us, give us some kind of feedback of what's going on, what they anticipate is going
to be. They'll send us information, but when it comes to voting, I mean, we need to put the pressure to make sure that they address the issues that are affecting our community. I mean, the staffers could send all the information they, you know, make it look nice, but when it comes to voting and they don't have any pressure, then... Yeah.
Well, let's start with the letter.
Yeah, I agree.
Invite them.
See when they're going to be in town if they'd like to be able
to. So the letter should reference all of these items and then ask them to come to Kanyutia?
When can they come?
When can you come to Kanyutia?
Not can you, but when you.
When can you?
All right, thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right, Ms. Aguirre.
Well, in preparing for this evening's presentation as far as their budget projections, you know, in the last couple of weeks I've been looking and searching through the various school business information outlets to see if I could get a better idea of how the state, and again, going back to what Mr. Rose was saying, you know, how are the reductions going to come across? You know, everybody, let's play it safe and let's give a 5% or 7% reduction, but how really are we going to be faced with the reductions is unclear, and like I said, I looked, researched and have not really found anything more with more clear pictures. And so taking that into consideration, and again, the moving targets associated with, well, where property valuations are preliminary, will not be presented until May. And of course, not knowing where the funding reductions are going to be, I'm presenting this information this evening. With the important factors considered, of course, is their projected enrollment of 6,146 students. Student average daily attendance at the district is foreseen as of 5,646. Our property tax rates are currently at $1.04, and our interest and sinking tax rate is at 25 cents. With our projected property tax revenue right now, assuming a 3% increase on property valuations of $13,670,000. I was asked at the last presentation on the 16th to try to present two scenarios based on a 5% reduction and then a possible 7% reduction. So the first group of slides, I'm going to be doing the presentation with a 5% reduction and two different tax rates, the $1.04 tax rate and the $1.17 tax rate. So the revenues estimated for the 11-12 school year with a 5% state reduction, which equals to a $1.4 million decrease in state funding, state revenue, puts us at $45 million for our projected local revenue. This next slide presents to you the different tax rate at a 5% state reduction in funds. With the $1.04 tax rate, we are looking at $45.2 million in revenue versus a $1.17 tax rate, which gives us $48.7 million in revenue. And again, this is at the 5% reduction. Now, when we look at the next slide, which is projected revenue less expenditures with a 5% state reduction and a $1.04 tax rate, we are looking at a $2.8 million deficit. And again, this is considering the 2% increase in enrollment, the 5% reduction in state revenue, and 5% increase in just day-to-day operations through fuels and utilities and things of that sort.
Through the chair, this is what we're planning as the minimum cut. 2.8 is the minimum that we're planning.
This next slide is considering a $1.17 tax rate, a 5% state reduction, again, with a 2% increase in enrollment and 5% increase in day-to-day operations. And this would give us, with an increase or a passage of a TRE, this would give us $879,000in clear after we allocated the... I've gone ahead and presented on, done the budget allocation workshops, and campuses and departments are now busy working on how they're going to allocate their funds.
Mr. Rodriguez. Excuse me?
I'll wait.
Okay.
The next set of slides is with a 7% state reduction in revenue. And the 7% cut would equal to about $2 million in state cuts. And so with the projected revenue estimates, we would be seeing $44.6 million in estimated revenue for 2011-12. Again, this is with a $1.04 tax rate and a 7% state reduction. This next slide is showing you the different tax rates with a 7% state reduction. If we were to see a 7% state reduction with a $1.04 tax rate, we would be seeing a revenue of $44.6 million. If we went to the $1.17 tax rate with a 7% state reduction, we would be seeing $48.1 million in revenue. Again, this is still based on our 3% increase in property valuations or 2% increase in enrollment, and then again, the 7% reduction. This next slide is projected revenue less expenditures with a 7% reduction with a $1.04 tax rate. This would be giving us a $3.2 million deficit with our budgeted allocations that we've got currently right now. And the following slide would be projected revenue less expenditures at a $1.17 tax rate, which would give us a $268,000 clearance after budgeted allocations. So having presented this, administration is proposing that the property tax rate for 2011-12 for maintenance and operations go from $1.04 to $1.17, and the interest and sinking fund that is currently at 25 cents would be proposed at this point until after the May 14th elections to see at that point we'd have to go come back and adopt the new tax rate on INS. So right now the total proposed tax rate after successful TRE would be $1.42.
All right. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Aguirre on the presentation?
Just real quick, on the past projections that we have had, even with the $1.17, we would have been in the red, and now currently we're not looking?
We wouldn't have been on the red. We would have been slightly over by about $200,000. I believe it was $180,000. And basically, I went back to look at our numbers, made, you know, did the budget allocations, and that's where we found that we had a little bit of a more bleeding.
So we're looking at some possibility.
2.8 million.
Depending on streamlining of what we're looking, maybe some further savings and a possibility of...
Well, again, I will remind you that's without allocation. You know, without any, of course, no salary increases, but furthermore, the maintenance and facilities, not giving them any, you know, additional funding. And just basically going, you know, exactly like we had this.
Staying the status quo.
Yes.
So the thing is, to give the 6 days back, it would cost how much?
About $900,000.
$900,000. How much would it be to give like a 1%?
I'd have to calculate that, but I can certainly provide that in the Friday packet if you want.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions, Ms. Searles?
I don't know what the slide numbers are going to be because I'm looking at the board book.
I provided you the presentation, and it's
okay.
Got two slides per page.
Let me see if I can... 5%. 1. The projected... The 2011 and 2012 revenue estimates with the 5% reduction. You've got our certified preliminary values of property at $1,341,000,000, and it goes on. On the calculated tax rollback, we've got assessed property values certified as $1,302,000.
Okay, because I increased it by 3%, projecting that we were going to have an increase in property valuation.
Okay, thank you.
And a couple more slides before we actually go to the motion.
Jeff Robert gave us an 8% increase in property.
I did quite ask him, you know, how is it that he got that number? And basically what he did, he has a formula. Our property valuations are property values that are still in debate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't account for those because we don't know where we're going to actually land with the actual dispute in property values. So he has a formula set up where he actually calculated that back in. And that is
okay.
How
he got that. Okay, thank you. That was a good. Thank you.
And for everybody's knowledge, in the last several years, there's been more contested property valuations, especially in this area, in El Paso area, because of what previously had happened, the CAD had been increasing property values at higher than 10% every year because they hadn't done their job in the past. Well, I shouldn't say that. But.
Also, President, we learned last night at we had a state presenter come in, and he was talking about how county appraisal districts over the last 5 years have all really worked hard to jack up the valuation. And he related it back to the 2006 tax cut of $1.50 to $1.04 valuation. And then, so then the taxpayer was supposed to get this cut, which then hurt us, but then the cities and the counties came in and raised it because they felt, well, the state cut to $1.04, that gives us room to come in. And the homeowner never really even saw a really heavy cut, did not realize that cut. And so the whole thing was ineffective all the way around.
Yeah, and we can thank the Central Appraisal District for the way they jacked up the property values so that...
to earn more revenue, and the guy last night was saying it happened across the entire state.
And that's why I think one of the things is we ought to separate that as an autonomous board instead of being... have representatives from each of the governmental entities on there that depend on them to do that. I think they ought to be, you know, on their own and account to the public directly, not to any of the other governmental entities. I mean, they're going to have an interest when their funding comes from each one of our governmental organizations that depends on that they're going to want to make sure that their government entities have a certain tax level that they're going to gain, because of whatever other cuts have been done in spending, so they'll raise the property values.
I have one more question.
Lori.
Ms. Aguirre, we saw a substantial increase, a one-time increase from changing our fiscal year. What was the amount?
We're estimating about $3 million, but we won't finalize that till we start doing our summer audit. And then I'll be able to present an actual...
So you have not figured that $3 million into this anywhere?
Right now the plan is, the idea is that the savings will go straight into fund balance just to be ready for any uncertainty.
Okay. But that is a very real increase.
Yes, it will be a substantial increase.
Didn't you tell me 3.8?
Yes, it's right. I just gave...
It's a little more than 3.
Yes.
Okay, and I have one other question. I wasn't on the board, I don't know. We have a policy, CE Local, that sets our fiscal year. Did we change that?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Martha, if I may, I have a question. Can you relate how this goes to the timeline that you prepared for the board regarding the budget setting and the tax rate setting and all of that?
Right. Well, because our fiscal year now ends June 30th instead of August 31st, we had to move everything up, which is why we are now here presenting, in addition to the tax rate that we're setting. But by mid-June, we will have adopted our fiscal year 12 budget. And so that memo that I had shared with you as far as our different calendar sets that I think I provided it to you on February 8th, gives you specific timelines of when we're presenting salaries for your consideration and approval, as well as setting the tax rate and then following through after the May 14th election to see how we fared with the elections.
And we're right on schedule.
And we're on schedule, yes. This next slide, again, is presenting because we are early as far as the property appraisal valuations to be released. We are using our 2007 certified totals, which is $1,302,198,000. We will be seeing the preliminary valuation right at the beginning of May. And so the plan will be that during May, and I have on the calendar May 24th to be exact, we will hold another board meeting in which I will give you budget updates, hoping that by then maybe the state has released a little bit of information as to what kind of measures they're going to take as far as looking at reductions. I will definitely by then have budgeted allocations by campus, by function, and by object code for you all to review. And so it'll be closer to the final product by the May 24th. We will then by also have the election results, which will then set more in stone everything we've got projected for the budget. So our calculator rollback tax rate is presented to you with a property valuations assessed at July 2010 of $1,302,000,000, a proposed maintenance and operation tax rate of $1.17, with an effective minimum tax rate of $1.177400, and debt service amount to be paid for, from the property taxes will be $3.3 million, with our debt service tax rate that was also set last August at 0.252100, which will be subject to change based on the collections as well. Right now, setting the tax rate at 1.422100. This information was also published on the West Texas Courier 2 weeks ago on February 24th, and so I'm just going to review some of the information we had posted. And basically, it's showing that our property tax levy on your average appraised value home of $136,000 would be $1,732 annually. And so it would be a difference of $158 annually. And this is with a rollback tax rate of $1.42.
And if I can make a comment, going back to the chair.
On
the rollback tax rate in the Scottish bracket, where it says subject to change with school bond approval, remember that there is a tax break in the bond issue, which actually would delay a change for a full calendar year, 18 months post-election. There would be no change. And then there would be an initial change where only 50% of the bond was charged to the homeowner. And then in the third year, 2.5 years after the election, it would go fully into play. So we do have that, and as we go out to the information meetings, we are sharing that.
And that concludes my presentation. If you have any more questions, if not, then we open it up for public comment.
All right, anybody have any questions, comments? Thank you. And at this time then, we will, on agenda item 7A, this is not just a report, but a public hearing on the budget projections update and 2011 to 2012 tax rate. This time, I'm going to ask if there's any members of the public that would like to comment on the report. All right.
I just need some clarification. I thought I understood it all.
We did too, Lily.
Lily Maldonado, community member. Ms. Aguirre, in talking in the past with you, I understand the TRE to go up to $1.17, and that will come out immediately
right.
Next January.
Yep.
I understand also that if the bond passes as well, that it goes up to $1.59, correct?
But it would be in
a
series of years. Yes,
yes, like Dr. Murphy said, after in 2013 it would be 50%, and in 2014 it would be 100%, which would be the $1.59. 58. But you're throwing me off now by $1.42. What is that? The tax rate?
It's $1.17 plus the current 25 cents.
So that comes out to $1.42, right?
Uh-huh.
But the total. As a taxpayer, the total amount that is going to be impacting me is going to be $1.59 or $1.58?
After the
bond election, if it passes, and the TRE combined.
Right.
And 2.5 years
tax. 2.5 years later.
Okay. So the $1.42 is just the $1.17 plus the 0.25.
Right.
which is...
Interest and sinking.
Could change. But total, it's going to be $1.59 per hundred or $1.58 per hundred if both pass.
Yes.
After 2.5 years.
After, yeah.
Yes. All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Maldonado. All right, any other input from the public, from the community, agenda item 7A? All right, hearing none, thank you, Ms. Aguirre. Tony, next agenda item.
Item 8A is consider approval of ordinance adopting tax rate for 2011-12 school year. Mr. Baskin.
Larry, good evening.
Good evening.
I can do it if you want.
Good evening, Mr. President, Dr. Murphy. As the board knows, and we've talked about this number of times, tonight the board needs to consider whether to adopt the tax rate. If you adopt the tax rate of $1.17, which is the recommended rate, that exceeds our rollback rate. So it's like a two-step thing. You adopt the tax rate, and that then requires you to automatically follow that with the calling of the tax rate election. And there is certain wording that you have to use from the statute in adopting the rate. You have the actual ordinance in your packets, but I realize that we did not give you in your packets the actual wording of the motion that is required to be made in addition to the ordinance by the statute. And I made a couple of copies. I don't know who wants to. I probably didn't make enough, but I'll give it to the board president.
Can we get one that's on me?
Here is the actual motion that needs to be made, and I would suggest in addition to that we actually read the ordinance like we have in the past.
Okay.
We have enough. I think we could do it. We don't need a copy. Is that it, Mr. Baskin?
Yes, it's just a one sentence. It's okay. Lifted right out of the statute, and I realized when I saw the packet this afternoon, we did not include that in it. We just gave my actual ordinance.
I make a motion to approve that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of $1.17 per $100 valuation of property in the school district, which is effectively a 13% increased tax rate.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Rodriguez to set the property tax rate, that it be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of $1.17 per $100 valuation of property in the school district, which is effectively a 13% increase in the tax rate. Do I hear a second on this motion?
I'll second.
Oh, all right, I will thank you for your second, Ms. Mendoza. We have a motion and a second on this agenda item. It also calls for adopting the ordinance on the tax rate. I know it includes both of those in the ordinance, Larry. Should we just now focus on one and do two motions for the interest and sinking fund?
You know, we've done it both ways in different years as whatever is the board's preference, because as Ms. Aguirre indicated, we might have to go back and modify the interest and sinking fund once we know what our certified values actually are.
Okay.
But let's go ahead and you can I would suggest, just for ease of getting this done tonight, let's just do the ordinance as a single resolution, because we're going to have to revisit the interest and sinking fund later.
All right, and the ordinance to be adopted by the board, I will read into the record that the Board of Trustees published notice of the proposed tax rate as required by Section 44.004 of the Texas Education Code. The Board of Trustees have conducted a public hearing on the proposed tax rate on March 8, 2011. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District as follows. The maintenance and operations tax rate per $100 valuation of property in the school district for the school year 2011-2012 shall be $1.17. The interest and sinking tax rate per $100 of valuation of property in the school district for the school year 2011-2012 shall be $0.25100. This tax rate will raise more tax revenue for maintenance and operations than last year's tax rate. The tax rate will effectively be raised by 12.5% and will raise taxes for maintenance and operations on a $100,000 home by approximately $110.50 per year. All right. I know that there's two estimates. One in the motion was 13%, but this is approximately a 13% increase in the tax rate.
And there's two things by way of explanation. This ordinance says you have to figure out how much it will raise M&O taxes on a $100,000 home. And the other one says how much the tax rate is raised in general. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's what the statute says, and all this stuff is copied right out of the law.
Okay. All right. Do I have any questions, comments, discussion from the board on the motion before the board? Anybody? No?
One other comment I want to make, and you, that this board does it, the law also says that this must, each board member must be polled and state their vote. You know, many districts just say, all those in favor say aye and raise your hands. Y'all do not do that, but that's another statutory requirement. Every board member needs to be on the record as to how they vote on this. Legislature, be sure to pin you guys down.
All right. We certainly will do that. Anybody have any comments? All right, hearing none. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
All right, motion passes.
Thank you, school board. We greatly appreciate that support, and we will move forward with that recommendation through this campaign and information sharing time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, administration, for all the work. I know it's been a lot of time consumed in this, that we've not just meetings, but actual administration and employee time in getting this set.
Mr.
All right,
Chair, I have
Ms. Searles.
Mr. Baskin, just to reiterate what I think you told us at the last meeting, that by policy we are to adopt the goals and then the budget. But since we're calling for a TRE, did you not say that that was superseded, that we could
yes,
indeed
ma'am.
Adopt the budget amendment?
And I have the statute provision in my file.
Thank you.
It's usually adopted by fund and function.
But you have to have the goals first. Mm-hmm. And then you do the budget instead of like we're doing the budget.
Of course,
the
file
is
being taken. It would have been not on the top.
Just so nobody comes back.
The law says that you have to adopt the budget before the tax rate, but when you do this, it says under section 26.05 of the tax code that you may adopt a tax rate before the adoption of a budget for a fiscal year that begins in the current tax year, and you can use, instead of certified appraisal rules, you can use the estimated. And if you do that, then you can do it in reverse.
Thank you, Mr. Baskin.
I know you're just trying to get that on
the That's all I wanted on the record. Thank you. That's all right. Thank you, Mr.
And we will
Martin.
Take care of the budget. Obviously, now also because of our change in our fiscal year, also now we're even going to have to do by even more of an estimate before the certified values, because we're going to have to adopt it probably prior to our certified values coming out.
Right. Absolutely. You don't have any choice.
There's no way.
From here on after, we'll have to be doing this practice.
Right. So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Earls, and thank you, Larry. Any other comments? All right. Next agenda item.
Item B, consider approval of order calling tax re-election for May 14th, 2011. Mr. Baskin and Ms. Eddie.
Mr. Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, as I told you earlier, when you adopt a tax rate that exceeds the rollback rate, then by virtue of the law, you must also call what we refer to as a tax rate election, but the statute calls it a rollback election, and that's the way the actual proposition must read in the election. And you have in your packet the order, the draft of the order calling the election. What you have has not been changed. I may have tweaked the early voting places because those are moving, and as of late today, I have an email from Mr. Chacon just clarifying that there are no more changes, so your packet is accurate, although I have not listed in this the what are called the mobile voting sites, which are really temporary early polling places, but those are the sites located within the city of El Paso. They don't affect us, although our people can vote there. It's some located on the east side within the school district. So we need to adopt this order, and it provides for the three mobile sites, but it does not give the exact schedule of where everything is. I may bring that back. I'm going to talk to Mr. Chacon and see if he's satisfied with this the way it is, or if he wants to include that. But we've got to go ahead and call the election tonight. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer those. This order is in English. We're going to have to translate in Spanish, and we follow all the normal procedures, publication, and all that. This will run lockstep with the bond election order. I've been in contact with bond counsel, and we will do everything together. I will be doing the tax rate part, and we'll be doing the bond rate part.
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Rodriguez.
I make the motion to approve the order calling for a tax rate election for May 14, 2011.
All right. I have a motion before the board to approve an order calling for tax rate election for May 14, 2011.
I'll second that.
As included in our materials on the board agenda. And we have a second. Do we have any discussion on this item? Comments? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. We'll go on to the next agenda item.
Item C, consider approval of first reading of revision of FDA local admissions inter-district transfers. Ms. Armendariz.
Good evening. Board President and Trustees. Before you have the FDA local, and basically what we are requesting is for tonight, you presented, is for consideration of first reading. We embellished it. That's pretty much, if you had time to go through it, there wasn't anything, you know, basically different or new. And so this is where we come before you for this evening.
Right. I know we had one point discussed it and sent it back to have it reviewed because of some of the issues that the board had in the past on some of these intra-district transfers. Board, have any comments on the proposed?
Thank you.
Ms. Mendoza.
Dr. Murphy, who is your, it says, superintendent or designee? Do you have a designee, or are you?
Designee can be anyone that I designate. It will normally be Margarita as executive director of support and student services.
So that the request for transfers will be?
Margarita is the point on all transfer requests through her office, and then I get involved as needed from that point. She did that this summer, and will continue. And one of the things about the changes in the policy came about as she took over this role this summer and went through, she started noticing some deficiencies and some issues. And Ms. Searles asked me this question over the phone the other day. The change in this policy is part of the board goals, board superintendent goals adopted August 10th. This was one of the policies that we would bring back to you.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Ms. Searles.
The tuition waiver, will that come to the board for review or for knowledge?
Yes.
Most of the time, with the practices, yes, we bring it to the board.
Because I see that the superintendent or the designee approves.
I think the tuition waiver is a board item.
Because that's what I thought. It was a board. And it looks like it reads here on page 117 of the board packet, up at the very top, tuition exemption for former residents. It kind of reads to me like that's not going to be the board's responsibility at that point.
That, What we have done in the past is, like when we had the grandfather clause for the 2006 flood children, okay, pretty, that is, we're finishing with, you know, the group of those children. So they have consistently brought it because they had moved out of the district. Now, with the, if you look, are you looking like at the military children?
No, no, this is up at the top of the page. A student has been, who has been a resident of the district and has moved outside of the boundaries of the district but wants to continue attending the school that he or she has attended in the district shall also be eligible for a tuition waiver to be granted by the superintendent or designee, provided that all of the conditions outlined
once
below
are brought up to the board.
Okay, but that then, I don't read
then
that.
Then we relate that to the parent. Then we have the letter that is given to the parent that, you know, the child.
I think the wording is missing to the, you know, that the board has been left out of the verbiage in here.
Okay, thank you.
And even when the superintendent has in the past made them eligible and granted, all the tuition waivers in the past have come to the board by either approval or another recommended to be waived by the board from administration or not, or left to our discretion.
But we need to make sure that that wording is in our policy, and I don't see it in here. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to...
Page 4 talks about the waivers. There's a statute on it. Page 4 near the bottom.
The very end.
I see it.
The statute. I think you may be right. I don't have the education book with me tonight to look that up. I think it requires board approval.
It has to.
Legal FDA does.
Right. It has to be board. The policy can only reflect that administration can grant it as and or rather recommend the granting of it.
And on, like Mr. Beston said, on the very second to the last paragraph on the last part, the board may waive tuition for student based on financial.
As Cyril's pointed out, we need to correct that part of the policy.
Yes.
And just say that the superintendent may recommend granting to the board.
And that's exactly how we would recommend, or we don't recommend.
Because as it reads right now, you do what you want to, and...
Well, in practice, we brought them all to you.
But, I mean, policy's what rules everything. So that if you went away and the new person comes and he goes, oh, no, it's not in your policy. We, you know, I've been doing what I want to do.
Yeah, but then it would conflict with our legal policy.
But just, I mean, it should reflect.
Yeah, but we'll fix it.
Thank you.
Just to... for full disclosure, one of the big items, and I don't know if y'all notice in here, is about the issue of transfer revocation. And we've added a lot of, a lot of teeth to that. If a student is misbehaving to an extent that, you know, it's a significant concern, if the academics are such that they're failing, if there are significant concerns, the transfer can be revoked. And the students sign a document that is going to say that they have to keep their grades up, they have to keep their attendance going well, they have to have good behavior, and if they don't, the transfer can be revoked. In previous policy, we did not have that language in there. And so we're adding that to make sure that those students understand that it's a privilege to have a transfer and that they have to live up to the standards that are being asked of.
Ms. Casares.
On page 404, I see that it was removed where it says non-payment. The district may initiate withdrawal of students whose tuition payments are delinquent. Is there a reason behind that? Is it because it's included somewhere else, or why are we removing that?
I don't follow you, Monica. Where are you?
On page 404?
On
non-payment. Right underneath waivers?
Yes.
That's a very good point, Monica. We need to take that off. I mean, we need to include it. Okay. Take the scratch through off. It's an excellent point.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask a question.
Sure, Ms. Quintana.
First of all,
Ms. Hernandez, on filing for the PIMS on the student transfers, is that also done through your office? The submission of the student transfers?
The PIMS?
Mm-hmm. When it goes to the state?
No, that's through LEADA.
Okay, she does it?
Right, through a NAP.
And so it's not done through the same office as the ones that are approved? Because it used to be done.
Right, we wanted to have Margarita take this over so that she could be the first contact with the parents and the families as they come in and want these types of changes. With the assistance of her administrative assistant, they do all the paperwork and then they get it to Annette Brigham in her office, and then they're the ones that input it into PIMS.
Okay, and my other question is on tuition. On the students that do pay tuition or that would want to pay tuition, I know that a certain amount was decided on some time back. Mm-hmm. Has that amount been revised or looked at?
Dr. Murphy, can I ask?
Yes. Yes, it has.
Basically, there is a formula that we use, and we take the prior year's expenditure and formula funding that we get for, you know, students that are attending our school district. And so that's how we come to the calculation or the formula and how what tuition rate is. And it increases a little bit year after year, but it's not a big change. But there is a formula in place.
And that is found in the FDA regulation. And also a second.
Patsy.
In years past, we used to have a clinic officer, for a better word. Do we still have one?
Yes, we do.
And my question is, I remember a lot of students were not residing in our school district or attending our schools, and there were a lot of calls made, and then he would then go out and verify. Is that still the process?
Yes, that still goes on at the request of any principal. You know, when they look at their roster of students and they have any reason to question, like let's say if a child is continuously and chronically tardy, then most likely something is wrong there, so then he does a home visit and checks that.
Thank you.
To further, I guess, what Ms. Mendoza said, we get a lot of New Mexicans in here that are not paying taxes, and yes, they're a warm body, but they're taking up space in our classrooms. Are we diligently patrolling to make sure they go back to school in New Mexico?
I'm very happy to say that this year, we worked very diligently this past summer on that. Okay. So that, you know, because once Dr. Murphy asked me to take that whole step there, they stop at our office before they go anywhere. And then we, you know, every documentation has to be done. And sometimes they were basically coming because, let's say, the child was just having a little bit of problem or a major problem with attendance. And so we sat down to give counseling to the parent that bringing the child to another district or another school was not the solution. And so we networked them to even get further counseling so that they could stay with the student, because that problem the child is going to bring with him is not something that would be a solution just coming to another district. So we were able to right away from the office, you know, redirect them, but with counseling services for the child.
Back to their own district.
Back to their own district.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Any other questions then for agenda item 8C? All right. I'll entertain a motion then to approve the first reading of the revision of FDA local or admissions with the relative modifications that we have made.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 8C. Any further discussion? Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Ms. Hernandez, thank you. Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs.
Torres? Yes.
All right, thank you, administration, Ms. Armendariz, for your work. on this policy. And that takes us to agenda item 9.
And that is the active session. The time is now 8 or 9 p.m. The meeting is to be closed for consultation with attorney and to discuss non-renewals of probationary contract staff members, giving notice of proposed non-renewal of term contract staff members, and giving notice of proposed discharge to continuing contract staff members under Texas Government Code Sections 551071, 551082, and 551074.
All right. We are... The board will return to executive session at this time.
You are. Hold on.
Kind of a time that we went in.
You went into executive session at 8:09 p.m. The time is now 9:30 p.m. and the meeting has reconvened into open session.
All right, the board has concluded agenda item 9, executive session. Next agenda item.
Item 10A, consider non-renewals of probationary contract staff members. Mr. Baskin.
Mr. Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, as presented in executive session, there are two probationary contract teachers that are recommended for non-renewal. The administration recommends non-renewal of Tanya Espino and Teresa Studer.
Okay, Mr. Chair, we're going to make a motion that we go with the administration's recommendation for the non-renewal of contract staff members, it being Tanya Espino and Teresa Studer. So be it resolved in the best interest of the school district, the probationary contracts of the following employees are hereby non-renewed for the 2011-2012 school year.
Say their names in the next part two.
Tanya Espinosa and Teresa Studer. Be it further resolved that the contract non-renewal notice be given by the Executive Director for Human Resources.
All right. I just have a point. Should we include both of them on the same motion or we separate them out?
It's okay to put them on the same.
And I guess the board member can vote independently on each.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Okay. So why don't we separate the voting?
Yeah, let's separate it out. Mr. Rodriguez, would you,
you want me to separate?
Withdraw the drawing of one of them in the first motion, and that's can your motion be then first on Tanya Espino?
Yes.
All right.
I'll withdraw one of these.
All right, so we have a motion before the board with respect to agenda item 10. The board at this time is considering the a non-renewal for the 2011-2012 school year for Tanya Espino. Do I hear a second on that motion?
I'll second.
All right, and the motion again has been moved and seconded that it is in the best interest of the school district that the probationary contract Tanya Espino for the 2011-2012 school year be non-renewed. Do I have any discussion from the side? Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Do I hear another motion with respect to item 10?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that it is resolved in the best interest of the school district, the probationary contracts of the following employee are hereby non-renewed for 2011-2012 school year in the name of Teresa Studer. Be it further resolved that the contract non-renewal notice be given by the Executive Director for Human Resources.
All right, I have a motion for the board and a second on agenda item 10 to non-renew the probationary contract of the employee Tanya Espino for the year 2011-2012. Any further discussion? Comments? Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right. Is there any other motion or agenda item 10A? Hearing done, we're moved on to agenda item 10B.
Maybe I didn't listen. I just pointed out that we said the same name twice.
No. We got Tanya Espino and Teresa Studer.
Tanya Espino and Teresa Studer.
Yes.
Well, let's be sure, if someone misspoke, let's be sure the minutes reflect they have separate motions. One is Espino, one is Studer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did I recite it? Maybe they said so. I didn't pick it up. Okay. All right. For the record, the second motion was referenced to Teresa Studer. And it was moved and seconded that the board non-renew the probationary contract for the 2011-2012 school year of Teresa Studer. The first motion was non-renewal of the probationary contract for Tanya Espino for the same year. All right, both motions passed by the board. All right.
And board, before we adjourn,
welcome, and I invite everyone to Thursday night's chat. Do we need to post? Is there going to be more than four going?
Ms. Quintana has signed up. Those are board members that I don't think will have issues.
Okay.
That desire to attend the chat on Thursday, check in with Tony if there's more than three signed up. If there's already three signed up, then
Cindy,
do not attend.
Okay, great.
Well, okay, Monica and Rachel so far.
Thursday.
Yes, 6:30.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, next agenda item.
Is it a chairman, or are we doing B and C?
Oh, go ahead. Well, I don't think there's anything else.
No, but we need to stay for the break.
Okay, item 10B is consider giving notice of proposed non-renewal to term contract staff members. Mr. Baskin.
Mr. Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, no action is needed on this one as we will be obtaining resignations, and those will be submitted to Dr. Murphy at a later date.
All right. The board will take no action at this time on this agenda.
Then item 10C, consider giving notice of proposed discharge to continuing contract staff members. Mr. Baskin.
Mr. Coronado, board members, and Dr. Murphy, also on this item, we will be obtaining resignations, and they will be submitted to Dr. Murphy at a later date. No action is necessary at this time.
All right. Then the board will take no action on agenda item 10C. Next agenda item.
Adjournment.
Item D, no board action, and we are to adjournment by unanimous consent of the board.